Father, we thank you for your sweet presence that is already in our midst. As we enter your word, we humble ourselves afresh under your mighty hand. I pray for fresh unction and anointing, firstly, upon my heart, my lips, so I will speak as I should, indeed, as an oracle of God. Secondly, upon the ears and the hearts of everybody that will hear me, those who are physically present here, as well as those who will hear me remotely, electronically, so your word will flow freely from you through me to your people to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including mine. In particular, to cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Further, pray as I speak, the power of the Spirit of God released in great as well as in sufficient measure. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes and free men to enable them to be doers of the things they hear and not hearers only. I further pray as I speak. I further pray that, Lord God, this word, you for mercy, enabling me to deliver the word with precision, to be faithful, to say only what you want me to say, bringing out the treasure of this word, things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with me receiving every blessing mentioned in their individual lives, all individually agreed and said, Amen. This is our school of perfection. We are teaching on Christian perfection using the Lord Jesus Christ both as our model and as well as our goal. The purpose of the Christian life is not just to get us born again. The born again experience is the starting point, not the ending point, but for us to grow up into Christ in all things. Must understand that when we get born again, the divine nature is implanted into the inner man, into our spirits, but the sin nature is still residual parts of it, is still in the soul and in the flesh. That's why you still sin as a Christian, you know. And Paul describes this in the Galatians 5, as well as in Romans 7. But the good news is that you're supposed to use the blood of Jesus, the word of God, and the power of the Holy Spirit to clean out that residual sin nature that is still in your soul and body. Bible says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us, the responsibility is ours, not God's. But when we now take responsibility, God will now help us. We can't do it without God's help. But at the same time, God is not going to force it on us. We have to make up our minds to do it. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. We see that that word perfecting is in the present continuous tense. Means a continual thing. You know, the ultimate end of it is perfection. That condition in which the residual sin nature in the soul and body have been totally cleaned out, with the emphasis on the word totally, from the soul and the body is the condition of perfection. It's not a utopia. It doesn't mean you know everything. It doesn't mean, you know, you can never sin again. Because if you look at the two Adams, the first Adam in the Garden of Eden and the last Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, you get a complete picture of what perfection is. Adam was created perfect. He wasn't born. He was created. He was a full-grown man created like that. But he sinned, you know, because he didn't use his will to do the word of God. Jesus, on the other hand, was born of a virgin, and he didn't have any sin in him. The Bible says he was tempted. So because you're in perfection doesn't mean you won't be tempted. In every way like as we are, yet without sin. Furthermore, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says he grew in wisdom and in stature. So he didn't know everything. So perfection is a reality. It's not a utopia, you know, like some people would think. You know, the purpose of it is to perfect the character of God, the love of God in our wills, minds, emotions, so that we become established in that righteousness, become established in that character, so that God can trust us with the Spirit without measure. When we get born again, we get the Holy Spirit, quite all right, but the measure of the Spirit we get is very small, relatively. You know, it's what the Bible calls the earnest of the Spirit, and it's what enables you to speak in tongues, lay hands on the sick and they recover, cast out devils, you know. That's about it. You know, yeah, you know, and well, occasionally he will give you that spirit without measure, You know, that's what we call the gifts of the Spirit. But it's tempered, because your character can't handle it. Then he takes it back. You know, that's why the gifts of the Spirit, and this is crucial, we'll mention this again, you know, are given only as the Spirit wills. You can't activate them. If you see anybody who talks about activating, watch this. Prophecy, activating visions, activating dreams, they are on Satan's fast lane. God, you can't. It's as the Spirit wills. If he wants, he gives it to you. And when he gives it to you, sometimes it's the time you least expect it. Kenneth Hagin is a great contemporary example we can use for this. He had maybe about 20 visions of Jesus over a lifetime, not over 3 weeks. You know, from the first one was in 1950. And I remember him writing, it's in the book, I believe, in Visions. I recommend it for everybody. It's online. You know, you can Google Kenneth, you can download the digital version onto your iPad or phone. You know, and he says that the last thing he expected was what happened. They had this, he went to preach for somebody, you know, and then it was Sunday evening. Not too many people came. Like most people always miss the big things. They don't come to church because it rained. That's what happened that day. So him and the pastor and some other people, he did a short Bible teaching. Then he asked some of the brethren just come to the altar just to pray. So they were all just praying, you know, just praying after the service. He didn't expect them 10, 15 minutes and they'll say the grace and close. He said the last thing he expected was what happened. He said as he just knelt down and as he was praying, he said the roof disappeared. The altar disappeared. He began to operate this, you know, discerning of spirits. He fell into what is known as a trance. His physical senses were temporarily suspended and he could see into the realm of the spirit. So where the roof used to be, it was still there, but he was seeing the realm of the spirit. He saw Jesus. And Jesus began to talk to him, you know. And he said I remember his words, said, you know, what happened, you know, when it happened, he said, it's the last thing I'd have expected. It would be like me expecting to be on Mars. You know, that's the real thing. It's as the Spirit wills. The next one didn't happen for 2 years, 1952. The next one, as far as I remember, was about 1956 or something. The next one was 1959. And it was like that over the years, you know. And Jesus, most of the time when Jesus appeared to him, he would correct him. He will instruct him and say, don't think, you know, be asking him, so I say, no, you have to get that by faith like everybody else. I'm only appearing to you because I have a task for you for the rest of the body. But, you know, don't try and use it for your own advantage alone. That's a Olubi Johnson paraphrase, but basically that's what, even Jesus didn't encourage it. He didn't encourage it. He said, learn to get it by faith like everybody else. You know, that's the real Jesus, not the ones. A lot of funny Jesuses are appearing these days. It's not our own. So when we grow in this perfection, to maturity, inside perfection, we can now be trusted and we inherit the Spirit without measure, which is what happened to Jesus at the age of 30. And then you see him begin to do miracles on a consistent basis. You know, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils, turn water to wine, walk on water, feed 5,000, you know, with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes, and so on and so forth. That is the consequence of having the Spirit without measure. And I can confidently tell you, nobody on this earth has it now. If it had it, we would have seen it. We've had the gifts of the Spirit, you know, and then sadly, we've also had a lot of corrupted operation of the gifts of the Spirit, which is the sad part, you know. So, in order for us to understand these things and be inspired and get instruction of how to grow to perfection and inherit the Spirit without measure, we're studying the ministry of the Lord Jesus. Now, last lesson, we stopped in Matthew chapter 7, and we stopped in verse 23. And here, he was talking about what I was just talking about. He said, many will say to me in that day, and that day is this day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Everybody say prophecy. And in thy name have cast out devils. Everybody say casting out devils. And in thy name done many wonderful works. That would include healings and things like that. Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I spent a long time on this in our last lesson, and I'll just briefly summarize. This is telling God, it's present truth. Now, this thing we're reading now is happening now. And will continue to happen over the next few years. There are going to be a lot of Christians, and they're not unbelievers. And they're not, they're not false. There are two kinds of prophets. You know, I'm preparing a message on this. I don't know when I'm going to give it, you know. They are false prophets. That is, they're not born again at all. And they are operating from, you know, familiar spirits from the onset. They never got born again. Example of that is Bar Jesus in the book of Acts, who saw Philip, you know, and the Bible says he did many works, and he was a sorcerer. I'm not talking about those kind of people. Then you have this one that we're talking about here is corrupted anointings. Now, it's originally pure, originally called of God, but because of covetousness, pride of life, love of titles, and wanting to perform, you know, their anointing becomes corrupted. I give Bible examples. Balaam was originally a true prophet of God. Amen. In fact, some of Balaam's prophecies are still, you know, that scripture we quote from Numbers, God is not a man that he should lie, and the son of man that is Balaam. And we still quote it today. And we still use it. It still works. Because the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. Balaam is an example of somebody who had a corrupt anointing. Second Old Testament example is Saul. Saul was originally called and anointed by God. But that then an evil spirit from the Lord came in, you know, and started troubling him. And he would prophesy sometimes from the Spirit of God, and sometimes he prophesied from the evil spirit. It is a type. These things were written for our learning. That's what we have in the church today as I'm talking. A lot of people who born again, spirit-filled, originally called of God, originally anointed by God, but because of these things I've mentioned, in particular covetousness and the pride of life, those two, and they're tied with a very short rope. They're really, you know, interconnected. It was Kenneth Hagin. Let's give Brother Hagin another clap offering. Amen. We haven't given him one tonight. I don't think there's a service that going. I don't think. You know, they watch from heaven. I'm very conscious of that. True. They watch from heaven. So, Kenneth Hagin is the one who I heard. I thank God. No, God was getting me ready for my life and for my ministry. So that my first one or two years as a Christian, I listened extensively to Kenneth Hagin, and I learned so many things. You see, my first year as a Christian, you know, was really in England. Short time in Nigeria, you know, after my youth call. Then I went to England for my postgraduate, and I was in a good environment. I was in an Assembly of God, tiny church, but it was clean, you know. It was God. He just put me somewhere where he could train me, and you know, looking back now. And that was when I started getting all these, you know, tapes from Kenneth Hagin. So I would spend hours listening to Kenneth Hagin and everything. Then I came to Nigeria, did the same thing for the first 1.5-2 years. Anyway, so it was Kenneth Hagin who taught this. I remember he was telling us about this thing I'm talking about, corruption of the gifts of the Spirit. And he was speaking of people like William Branham. I know if you've heard of William Branham. Great prophet of God. God. Originally God. But he got corrupted. And in the end, he died. I don't know why people don't learn from history. You know? They had this group started by a man called Gordon Lindsay. many of this younger generation don't know. You know, one of the worst things that can happen to you is not to know history, because you won't be able to learn from it. And then you make mistakes that the old people made. Gordon Lindsay was one of the great pioneers of the Pentecostal move. You know, him, Kenneth Hagin, and Allah were younger men. The people who started in 1906, you know, the Azusa Street, you know, were people like E.W. Kenyon. You know, he wasn't a part of the Pentecostal at first. At first, he used to criticize tongues. I'm talking about E.W. Kenyon, because he felt that all they used to believe is only in sense knowledge. He went to the extreme of faith. But later on, he embraced it. You know, and people like John G. Lake and some of these, Maria Woodward Ether, people like somebody's name, Old Wigglesworth. You know, they were older than Kenneth Hagin. The Hagin people arose in the late 30s and early 40s. Now, what happened was that Gordon Lindsay started this group called the Voice of Healings. In that group, there were many, many preachers. You know, some of the great men that some of us have never heard of, and some that we have heard of. In our own generation, there are about two or three of them that we know very well. Oral Roberts, T.L. Osborne, and then Kenneth Hagin. You know, they're all dead now. You know, but they were a part of that. So, Gordon Lynch, William Branham was in that group. And, you know, Gordon Lindsay was a great man, lovely man, man of love. He said, look, this man has a great gift. We need to help promote it. And he did, you know, write articles, you know, prophet from God, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, quite long story short, you know, we noticed something about William Branham. Is that sounds like you go to a meeting, you'll be able to have accurate word of knowledge. You know, maybe you went to see your doctor, he would tell you the name of the doctor, the streets, the thing that is wrong with you, and that you're now healed. And you check your body and you're totally healed. They go to the doctor confirm. So that used to happen. But they only happened when the Holy Spirit wills. So there will be times when they'll have 5,000 people and there'll be no gifts of the Spirit. So what do you do? You're the prophet of God. You have to perform. That's what happens. So they now started performing. So familiar spirits, I heard this from Kenneth Hagin. He said, manifestation. Then he said, the Holy Ghost told him, said, familiar spirit. So that's how, over time, then he got into deception. And started calling himself the Elijah to come and all kinds of funny things. Yeah. And Gordon Lindsay and Ken Hagin, some of the other brethren, tried to talk to him. But he won't listen to them. Because they had big greater miracles than they did. You know? The prophecy came through Kenneth Hagin in 1964. Around the same time John F. Kennedy was killed. Ken Hagin prophesied about the assassination of John F. Kennedy before it happened. Oh, yes. He said, you know, I remember him telling the story how God took him through 63, 64, 65, you know, and he prophesied one night in one of the meetings. And he prophesied, he said, it was like me standing outside myself and then just hearing myself talk, you know, and he gave all of that. Then somebody said, you know, he said, I saw Kenneth, the president, I saw him die. He said, but I don't know whether he was sick, but I knew he died. Some people said, why didn't you go and tell the FBI? He said, if I go and tell the FBI, they'll come and investigate me. He said, he's trying to kill the president. He said, I kept my mouth shut. Prophets learn. Many of us, our zeal eats up our knowledge. He didn't go and tell the FBI. Everybody's going to say, how did he know? And it happened. Exactly.
He said, how did he know that he must be a part of some Russian plot? They'll eventually free him, but the amount of wahala, it would hinder him, hinder his ministry. They'll lock him up. This is when there was a lot of phobia about the communists. They say it must be a communist agent. Maybe they're paying him from Russia. So he didn't tell anybody, apart from his small church people. You know, in that same, around that same time, he prophesied about William Branham's death. He said, he that stands in the forefront of the office of the prophet, he says, he will make a mistake and he will be put aside. His works will follow him, he'll go to heaven. You know, because of this corruption. And that's exactly what happened. He had a car accident. They called Kenneth Hagin. They called Gordon Lindsay. Come and pray. The brethren didn't believe Branham could die. And there's still a sect. And I call it a sect. You know, Branhamites, they're still around till today. You know? And gone off. They refused to bury him. They said, this is Elijah to come. He will rise. They called Hagin and said, Hagin should come and pray. Hagin said, I'm not coming to pray. I've told you he's going to die. He made a big mistake, you know. God listened to the same thing. After some days, they had to go bury him. And he hasn't raised from the dead since. Corrupted, original good anointing, but it became corrupted. And what was the reason? Pride. And I heard this from Ken Hagin. If the gifts of the Spirit are in operation, great. If they're not, teach the word. Teach the word. That's the correct thing to do. And God will confirm this word with signs following. But it's not, you don't try and manufacture. It's like me coming and answer and manufacture all kinds of funny word of knowledge because I want to get money. Like, Paraguay guy was remembering, and we're laughing in my office on Sunday. Like one guy I went to preach for in Abuja. This is years ago. It's a true story. True story. I went to preach for somebody. And then he had this other guy who was also a preacher. So the guy was supposed to preach before me. Imagine preaching before, after that sort of silly anointing. So this guy, he was supposed to round up in 10 minutes or something after I came. He went on for about an hour. About how God, you know, was moving and how God's going to give you breakthrough and everything. So he now gave some type of word of wisdom or word of knowledge to bless the people. And said, everybody, you know, stand up if you have this, you know. And then he said, you know, you should give, I can't remember, but it was 5,000 naira. Which was a lot of money back then, that you give that offering, then you get your miracle. So, you know, foolish, gullible Christians. See how people were getting up and everything. It's a true story. The one that abused me, when the guy said, I forgot I was in Abuja. I should have made it 20,000 under so-called unction. The way of Balaam, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. These things happen. So, it is these kind of people God is talking about. Original, anointed, but the anointing became corrupted because of covetousness and pride. So, these are the many. And sadly, there are a lot of them. He said many, he didn't say few. They will say to me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Not everybody who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Not everybody who says, Lord, Lord, will come into this experience of the total dominion of righteousness, peace, and joy that will lead to perfection, that will lead to inheriting the Spirit without measure. So when Spirit without measure now comes into operation, they will now be asking God why they can't get that Spirit without measure. They say, I prophesied. I cast out devils. You know, I've done many wonderful works. Then Jesus will now tell them the reason. He said, I never knew you. It doesn't mean I don't know your name is John. God knows everybody. It means I never had intimacy with you that led to a reproduction of my character inside you. What Paul was pressing towards is that I may know him, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection. That's what he was talking about. He said, I never had that kind of intimacy with you. So how do you want to get spirit out measure when you didn't pay the price? That's a paraphrase of that scripture, but that's the, I just give you the spirit of it, not just the letter. It says, depart from me, you that walk iniquity. And we saw this last time. Iniquity there is lawlessness. These people are not keeping the law of love, using the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Pastor Wiley just, in our daily rhema, you know, he reviewed some of those old weekly remas, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. You know, he talked about Job and spiritual law, I think, today. You know, it's the truth. You know, so well, if you don't keep the law of love, using the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, you're practicing lawlessness. And most Christians are ignorant of this. That's why he didn't say few, he said many. Many are like that today. They're ignorant of the law of love. You know, most people don't take love as a law. They take it as a suggestion. An option. I walk in love when it's convenient. When it's not convenient, I don't walk in love. Ah, pastor, you don't know what it is to me. Ah, you don't know what they said to me. Law, love is law. It's the fulfillment. All the law and prophets, they hang on those. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. In the New Testament, it's love your neighbor as I have loved them. It's not a suggestion. It's a law. And not to keep it is lawlessness. Now you can locate yourself right now whether you're lawless or not. Do you walk in love as a law? In other words, I'm going to walk in love whether I feel like it or I don't feel like it. Because it's the law of the kingdom. Are you listening to me? I was reading my Bible. My daily Bible reading. I read my Bible every day just like you. I'm not a hypocrite. I was reading James 2, I think it was today or yesterday. You know, where it says, don't have the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ with respect to persons. If somebody comes into your church, your assembly, says, and this person is very well dressed, you know, expensive, you give him a special place to sit. Then one other person comes and it's not looking very okay, looks as if he's from Bere. You say, no, you can't sit over there, you just sit over there. He says, are you not judges of evil thoughts? You know, but if you fulfill the royal law, he calls the law of love the royal law. It is the law of the kingdom. You don't keep it, you're in trouble. You're practicing. You know, if you the word there, it says he worketh. But if you look at some of the other translations, you know, it says yes. It says, I've never known you. Get away from you, evil people. Tell them publicly, depart from me. You act wickedly, disregarding my commandments. That's what the Amplified Bible says. You know, the Complete Jewish Bible says, you workers of lawlessness. The Holy Spirit gave me that. Practice. So that's what they practice. If you practice not walking in love, you are practicing iniquity. You're practicing lawlessness. And it will disinherit you. He said, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter. If you practice lawlessness, you will never enter the kingdom. Doesn't mean you're not born again. It means you cannot enter into the total dominion of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Okay, now, so today, it says in verse 24, therefore, Matthew 7:24, am I talking to anybody here? It says, therefore, whosoever, whenever you say therefore, find out what is therefore. It means that there is a link between what he's saying and what he has said previously. We've been talking about keeping the law of the royal law so that you can enter the kingdom, the dominion, the total dominion of righteousness, peace, and joy. Let's keep it simple, perfection. Amen? So if it is by keeping the law of love, using the law of the spirit of life, that's how you enter perfection. So he says, therefore. So that you don't become like those people who had the gifts of the Spirit originally,
and the gifts of the Spirit became corrupted because they did not keep the law of love. Same thing. If you keep the law of love, you know, and you allow the law of God to dominate you, it will overcome pride. Love is not arrogant and inflated with pride. It will overcome covetousness. Love is content with what it has. It's never envious, nor does blood, but jealousy. There's no way you can keep the law of love and fall into those traps. So if you fell into the trap, it's because you didn't keep the law of love. If I'm talking to anybody here, give me a wave offering. And give the Lord a clap offering. Therefore, it's one very important portion of scripture that we're about to read. And, you know, in Christendom, we people have said this over the years, you know, and completely, I must be gracious, you know, have only a small fraction of the truth it's actually teaching. Everybody believes that once you have Jesus, you are building on the rock. It's not the whole truth. It's true that Jesus is the rock. But it's not true that because you are born again, you are building on the rock. Many Christians are not building on the rock. And I'm going to show you tonight. That's our main this thing tonight. It says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man. Everybody say wise man. Which built his house upon the rock. And the rain descended. Turn to your neighbor and say, the rain will descend. Whether you like it or not. We're living in perilous times. And the rain descended. And the floods came. Turn to your neighbor and say, the floods will come. They are coming. They are already here. And the winds blew. The winds will blow. See, these are things you can't escape simply because you're a Christian. Our being Christians does not make us immune from the difficulties and the dangers that are in the world today. We happen to be living in one of the most perilous times of human history. Iniquity has been abounding. The whole air is full of the forces of iniquity. You know, I was talking to a young man, you know, and he was telling me about the challenges that he was having, and I was encouraging him, you know, and I felt for him because I'm 63 years old. 40 years ago, I was 23. I was already saved. You know, 50 years ago, I was 13. My teenage years were very, very turbulent because I wasn't born again. You know, we've gotten to all kinds of silly things, you know, and all of that. You know, I can imagine if what is available today was available then. God could still have saved me anyway. But, things were bad then, but not like today. Iniquity has really abounded. Pornography online, you know, all kinds of horrible things. Homosexuality is now being celebrated. These were anathema. In our time, there was STDs. Gonorrhea, syphilis, if you took antibiotics, it would clear. In today, it's AIDS. It's a death sentence. Though they have drugs for controlling AIDS now. What I'm trying to say is that the kind of iniquity this younger generation are seeing, we didn't see it. And I thank God. But, right on the other hand, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. When we were young, the kind of revelation knowledge and the word of God that we have today wasn't available then. So while there is more danger today, there is more grace. It just depends on the choice of the individual. So even though, you know, there is more iniquity today, but there is much more grace. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Give the Lord a clap offering. Much more. So it's easier to live a holy life now than it was when I was 13 years old, because we didn't have the knowledge of God's word then that we have now. While you have greater challenges now, but you have much more grace to overcome those challenges. So at the end of the day, it always comes down
to the choice of the individual in their hearts, the degree of their honesty and humility. And that's true in every generation, actually. The rains descended. I didn't hear you. And the floods came. And the winds blew and beat upon that house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man. We built his house upon the sand. Have you heard that before? Wise virgin, foolish virgin. Same thing. Foolish. They're both Christians. Who? See, that's the funny. The Satan has deceived us. You know, we always say, oh, that's the unbeliever. The unbeliever built on the sign. Yeah, accept Jesus. I'm born again, so I'm the wise man. No, you're not. You're a virgin, yes, but are you a foolish one or are you a wise one? And sadly, majority are foolish. Jesus was even generous when he says 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. I think he was just doing that just to show the categories, not the percentages. Yes. Majority of Christians today are foolish. I'm going to tell you the reason why in a minute. And the foolish one built his house upon the sand. Watch this. And the rain descended. And the floods came. And the winds blew. The same rain. The same floods. The same wind. They didn't. God is not a respecter of persons. And it fell. And then Jesus adds an adjective. He said, and great was the fall of it. Now, what's different with these two guys? One built upon the rock of revelation knowledge. The other built upon the sand of head knowledge. We talked about Job last Sunday. That's what happened to Job. When the flood came, when the wind blew, when the storm came, it fell flat. He escaped barely by the skin of his teeth. And what was the reason? He built on head knowledge. I gave to the poor. I was eyes to the blind. Go and read Job chapter 29. I. You can't build on that. Physical good works are to be commended, and we should all do them. They will add, watch this, to our resurrection. But they are not a substitute for operating spiritual law. And if you don't operate by revelation knowledge, when the winds come, when the floods arise, your house will fall flat. Nobody said amen. I don't know what's wrong with us. Amen just means so be it according to the word of God. It doesn't mean so be it what's going to happen to you. I'm just telling you what the word of God says. Amen. Yeah. The sooner we wake up, the better. So these two guys, the wise and the foolish, experienced the same trials, the same tests, the same floods, the same rains, the same floods, the same winds. But the difference between the two of them was one was built upon the rock, which we know to be revelation knowledge, according to saying this same Matthew chapter 16, where Jesus asked them and said, who do the people say I am? Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Look at what Jesus said. He said, flesh and blood, not the physical, did not reveal this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And upon this rock, the rock of revelation that the Holy Spirit reveals, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Sadly, you know, go to any Christian group denomination, whether it's evangelical or Pentecostal, charismatic or word of faith. And ask the average, not picky man, say, what's revelation knowledge? He can't tell you. Because it's not taught. A lot of what we call the knowledge of the Bible is head knowledge. And that's sand. It's not rock. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, I want to explain to you, we're going to close with this tonight. You know, the next two verses, and that's the end of chapter 7. And next week, we'll start with chapter 8. I want to explain something to you. The difference between these two guys was this. Both of them heard the word of God. Go and read it carefully. He said that the wise man, he that heareth my sayings and doeth. The foolish man, he that heareth and doeth not. Both of them had the same head knowledge. Both of them could quote Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply my need. Yes. They heard it. They heard the word of God. They can tell you, don't steal, don't kill, don't commit adultery. They can tell you Elisha. They can tell you Moses. They heard it. But hearing is not enough. It is the doers. Now, that is where the problem lies. I discovered this as a young Christian in my first 2-3 years as a Christian, that hearing and knowing God's word was a different ball game from doing it. When I first started hearing some of this, I used to assume I could do it. That's one of the biggest deceptions. Assuming you're doing it is not the same as doing it. That was one of the things that made me get my prayer notebook. I still have them. I do, yes. And I've been training all my pastors the same thing, you know. I don't want to assume I'm doing it. Did I do it? Then it's not even all just to tick it on paper. How is it affecting me the way I act? I don't want to deceive myself. For he that is a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he says it's like a man who beholds himself in a mirror, and he forgets what manner of man he is, and deceiveth his own heart. If you hear the Bible a lot, you come to a church like this, you hear a lot, you will know a lot of Bible in your head. But the question is, how much of what are you that you're hearing are you really doing? And is this doing that is the issue that make the difference between the wise man and the foolish man, the wise virgin and the foolish virgin? To go back to the parable of the virgins, which is still further down, we're going to study it later on in Matthew chapter 25. There are two characteristics that distinguish them, or one major one rather. Both of them had oil. Oil is a type of the life of God. Both of them born again. He said, but the wise one had oil in his vessel, the physical body. The foolish one had oil, but he didn't have enough. So he didn't have it in his vessel. So his oil, his lamp began going out. And then he asked the wise one that, please give me of your oil because my oil is going out. The wise one is wise. That's why he's wise. He said, bro, this is not the question of not walking in love. This will be Johnson paraphrase. Yeah, if I give you from my own, there will not be enough for me. He said, incidentally, I too bought it. So go to the people who are selling the oil and buy for yourself. Which is a wise thing to say. He wasn't nasty to him. Just told him the truth. This is the problem. People don't want to pay the price to buy oil. Let's say it the way a man of God said it some years ago. They don't want to pray the price. You see, the currency of the kingdom is prayer. In another parable, I think it's even here. No, it's not here. It's this same parable. Jesus, it's recorded in Luke chapter 6. He said, the man who did the word, he said, he dug deep. I would say, dig deep. That's why people don't do the word of God. They don't want to dig deep. They like this superficial Christianity. You know, then they compare, they then compare themselves among themselves are not wise. You know how Christians compare, you know how they rate themselves spiritually? They always compare themselves with the other Christians around them. I was making fun of my children on Sunday. You know, Josh will be my son and his sisters. You know, in wherever they go, you know, both here in England, America, everywhere, you know, usually in their church, they're always some of the best Christians. You know, the people like them, their pastors, Dara and William, their pastor in California loves them. In fact, it's William who transcribes his messages. And they had something recently, well, not recently, about a year or two ago. They wanted Dara to come and speak to the women. And so they come and tell me, I'm always laughing at them. I said, it's okay. I said, I encourage you and all of that. I said, but don't use that. You see, when you use what men think about you, the question is, what does God think about you? Don't compare yourself with the human standard. Compare yourself with the divine standard. Then you remain small in your own eyes. That's the problem. So most people, you know, they are like the Pharisee. Most born-again Christians, they're like this. They don't commit moral sin. Majority of us. Few, but majority of us. Majority born-again spirit-filled Christians who have some degree of commitment to God. You know, they don't steal. They don't commit adultery. You know, they don't lie. They don't do all of them. They don't drink. They don't smoke. So, in their minds, what I'm teaching you tonight is fundamental. If you can get it, you're going to make progress. And I'll tell you my own personal experience as I go on. In their minds, they think that they are good. And relatively, they are. Compared to the sinner. So you now tell the Christian that, you know, you're not, you say, no, you know. So like the Pharisee. The Pharisee got up in the temple. You know. Then he says, I thank God that I'm not like other men. Even like this publican. Adulterers and extortioners and all of that. Watch this. I fast twice a week. Our people are like that today. But that's not the same as building on the rock. It's on the road to building on the rock. But it may not be building on the rock. You can do that and not be building on the rock. You know? I fast tithes twice a week. I give tithes of all I have. Blah, 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 blah. So they assume that they are spiritual. They assume that they are okay spiritually. They assume they are building on the rock, but they are not. They're like Job. Job was keeping moral law. And he was keeping ceremonial law, you know. He helped the poor and all of that. Job was not eating. He was not drinking. He was not womanizing. He wasn't, you know. So we assume we're okay. You're not. You don't become all right until you're building on the rock, which is building on revelation knowledge that comes by the operation of spiritual law. To keep and ultimately perfect the law of love. I didn't write the Bible. I'm just telling, you know, my name is Messenger.
I don't like the apostles, so let's see what it actually is. All apostles are messengers. Just a messenger, you know. Now, this is what I discovered in my experience. I told you I'm going to tell you my experience. So, I come to Nigeria, you know, when I leave England, and I start working with Brother Emiko, you know, and I want to do the word of God. I was very zealous and everything, you know, and I was, you know, I wasn't smoking, drinking, no, I left all of that, you know, was upright, fast twice a week, you know, yes, I was, you know, zealous for the things of God and all of that. Then I started looking at some scriptures. This book of the law will not depart out of your mouth, but you will meditate day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you will make your way prosper. Then I asked myself, is this true? Then I discovered it was not true in my experience. It was departing out of my mouth. And I was not meditating in it day and night. I would read it in the morning. But throughout the rest of the day, some night I forget. Then that's where my quest started. How am I going to do this thing? How am I going to meditate? And the man didn't say, he said day and night. That's how I learned some things. I said, don't let me deceive myself. You know what I did to the glory of God? I did the same thing I did before I became a Christian. When I was a young boy, I told you my testimony. When I wanted to do GCE London, I would close the book and I would take past question papers. Then I would try and answer it. Then I won't remember. It means you don't know this thing yet. In life, that's how we train them. Now we call it drills. But I'd never heard of the word drills. I just did it. You know, I was just led. Looking back, that was God who taught me. You know? I've read the thing. I know the material. You know, I assume I knew it. Then, close the book. Take past question paper. Answer. And I time myself. The same 2 hours, as if I'm in exam condition. Then I discover I was failing. So I stopped deceiving myself. I stopped assuming I knew it. Then I would go back. And then I would work. I work and work and work problems and all that until when I could confidently close the book, answer the question, then I knew it. That same mentality was what I took into the spirit realm. I said, this Bible, let me make sure I'm actually doing it. Don't let me assume I am doing it. When I now tried to do it, I found that it's not easy to do. Everybody, be slow to speak, swift to hear, slow to run. I discovered I was swift to hear, rather slow to speak and slow to run. I discovered that most of the time I was not swift to hear. Neither was I slow to speak. And I certainly was not slow to run. I said, there's something wrong. I've shared it here in church before over the years. You know, I was brutally honest with, that's the word the Holy Spirit gave me to when I taught it to people. You have to become brutally honest with yourself. I wasn't initially, but I changed. That's how I learned all the things I learned. I thought, am I swift to hear? Am I slow to speak? Am I slow to wrath? No! In my experience, I said, how come? How is it that I'm not doing that? You know, meditating the word of God day and night, you know? Observe to do. I was meditating the word of God, but it wasn't day and night. That time I didn't even know some scriptures I learned years later. And incidentally, just to let you understand this thing, we're talking about being doers and not hearers only. We're talking about building on the rock. I'm giving you the practical you know, instructions of actually how to do it. At this time, I'm talking to you. I'm talking about 1981. I got born again 79. You know, filled the Holy Spirit November 79. I was still in England. Stayed in England until September 80. Came back to Nigeria. I started working with Brother Emiko January 1981. So I'm looking at 79, 80, 81, a little bit of 82. Things began to change for me in 82, and I'll explain to you why in a minute. I'll tell you the story. You know, the story is supposed to be an inspiration and an instruction so that you will know the reality of building on the rock, and you will not be deceiving yourself if you are building on the sand, thinking you are building on the rock. So you know what happened to me? I discovered that I knew all those scriptures. My first year as a Christian in England, I'd already read the Bible once. By this 1982, I'd read the Bible maybe twice. There was no Bible you could tell me I wouldn't tell you. I knew it in my head. But doing it was a completely different matter. There are ordinary things like don't steal, don't commit adultery. I wasn't doing those ones. I was talking about, you know, these ones I've been talking about. But the word of God will not depart out of your mouth. You will meditate day in it. Day. I was meditating in the morning when I get up to do my prayer. But I suddenly, you know, when I go about the business of the day, I just kind of forgotten. It's not in my mind. I would have acted, maybe I would have said some things I shouldn't say. I would have acted, what's wrong with me? It was that honesty that brought me to this truth. So, I asked God, how does this thing operate? I know you're a good God. You don't ask us to do what we cannot do. For instance, let me give you another one. I just remembered now. Philippians 4:6, 4:8. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any excellence, think on these things. I wasn't thinking on those things. I was being honest with myself. I thought about them sometimes. But that was not what I want. That will keep him in perfect peace. Whose mind is stayed on him. My mind was not stayed. My mind was going here and there. Ah. So I knew I was in trouble. One day, it was sometime in 1980. I was still with Brother Miko at the time. I was sitting in the sitting room. You know, we didn't have anything. Our house was empty. You know, we used to sit on jerry can. When Brother Fred and I, we all sit on jerry can and eat whatever we have. You know, it was suffering is good. It teaches you a lot of things. I'm telling you. You know. So, then we got some people, you know, got some money. So, went to go and buy some furniture in Leventis. That, you know, that Goshen now used to be Leventis. So, we were able to buy these like, it's not cane, but it was rubber that they used to make it. You know, it was blue. You know, we had about four chairs. You know, we used my Volkswagen. We went to go and buy it. We had some money. So, at least our house started looking more respectable. So, and I would take the Kenneth Hagin magazine, Word of Faith, because we used to distribute all throughout Nigeria. So, it was my job to fold them, put them in the envelope. I will, you know, address all of them. Then I will take them to the post office. Put them inside the car. Take them. So I was doing that. As to show you how well I remember. So the Holy Ghost now said to me, he said, you're not serious. God, only me full up. In alignment with that base, I felt God was not being fair to me. I say, me. I left England. I left my career. I came here. I'm in Agbogbo. I'm serving you. And you tell me I'm not serious. If I'm not serious, who is serious? This is a true story. God said, you're not serious. Then he asked me for the scripture. He said, quote it. Exactly. So I said, whatever things are true or not. But I couldn't quote it with precision. He said, now tell me, what's the formula for kinetic energy? I said, half mv squared. He said, the day you start taking my Bible as seriously as you used to take your physics, then you become serious. I understood exactly what he was talking about. And it was true. I had made all that consecration. I had left England and I was serving God. But I was not at the level God wanted me to be. That's the truth. Ah! I said, God, I'm sorry. I said, now I understand. Okay. He said, now, start studying the Bible and practicing it with the same tenacity, with the same determination as you did when you were in school. You wanted to get a first class. I now understood. I said, okay, I got it. So from that day till today, everything changed. So what I did was I gave myself. That's how I got those prayer notebooks. I want to get a notebook to find out how do I pray every day? Have I done 1 hour in the Spirit? Have I read my Bible? Have I meditated the Word of God? That's how I started it. And when I first started, I used to get 2/10. I'm being honest with you. That's why I can encourage people. I can be a good pastor now by the grace and the mercy of God, because I can be touched with the feeling of your infirmity. I failed so many times. But the thing about it is that I didn't give up. And if you continue with time, you will get better. Hallelujah. That scripture became real to me. That, you know, strong meat belongs unto them that are of full age, who by reason of use, the Greek is by reason of habitual practice, have their senses exercised to the discerning of good and evil. That's what happened to me. So I started. It's just not enough to know it mentally. So I started. That's how I began to learn all these principles. Years later, I was practicing it, but I didn't have the revelation of it. But I was actually practicing and it was working. I now saw that the only way to do the Word of God by the Spirit is to put it in your mouth and in your heart. He said, the word is nigh thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. Then I now understood that it is the spiritual power that is coming out from my mouth through the Word of God that is inside my heart that will give me the strength to do what the Bible says. So I started practicing those principles. I started, you know, every day I get up, I had some scriptures. That's how this was, even before I learned life scriptures. Life scriptures came in 83. 82 was a pivotal year for me. 1982, I told God, I said, God, I want you to train me the way you trained Jesus. I still have all those, they are still in the church office. All those notebooks, they are there with all the notes. God said, yeah, I'll do that. Then all hell broke loose. I was almost killed, not once, not twice, not three times. Then God said, bind the devil. Then I bind the devil. And I found out when I bind the devil, everything is calm. When I forget and I don't bind the devil, bad things happen in my circumstances. That's how I learned to start binding the devil three times a day. Then I now discover inside the Word of God, evening, morning, and noon. I say, yay. So this is it. Okay. Every 6 hours. So when you will talk of them when you lie down. You will talk of them when you get up. When you walk by the way. When you sit in the house. I say, So I started doing it. The love. I've been doing 1 Corinthians 13 because Ken Hagin taught me. But I used to do it only once in the day. I do it in the morning, you know, when I read my Bible, which was a good place to start. And praying tongues 1 hour. But I discovered that was not enough.
goes good. And the Christians around me, everybody thought I was a super Christian. I'm being honest. You know, by the grace of God which was with me, I was touted as one of the exemplary Christians. I remember Brother Emiko used to speak so highly of me. You know, that's how I got to know Akin Adesina, who is now president of EFDB, and his media guy, Victor Oladokun, who is his media, you know, he used to be on TBN. They were all on, listen to this, they were all undergraduates in University of Ife. I'm talking about 1982-83. I had gone to England, I had come back. And I was working with Brother Emiko. You know? So one day we went to Ife. I think Brother Emiko went to preach. And I was the one who was selling the books and the tapes and everything. So Brother Emiko now began to give my testimony to all the people. You know, the University of Ife, the fellowship. Ah, this Olubi Johnson, young boy. You know, he's only 20 something. He's had first class. He went to Imperial College. See, he's back. Look at him there. He's serving God and everything. Ah, so everybody will come. That's how Akin Adesina got to know me. That's how we became friends. They all come after the service. Everybody will come to me. They want to buy this book. Ken Hagin want to buy this. They start asking me, how did you do it? Well, you know, what are you doing? I said, these guys. You know, so everybody, you know, I was touted as, you know, a super saint. I'm being honest. And occasionally, like once in 6 months, I made friends with people like Fred Adigoke, Brother Fred now, Wiley Adekoye of blessed memory, who was in Ivory Coast, Friday Beki, David Oyedepo, Tunde Jola. It was through Emiko. Everybody used to come to our house, you know, to come and buy either Kenneth Hagin or Kenneth Copeland book or tape. So when they come, we would gist, you know, then I would share the word of God. I can never forget, it was Wale Adekoye. He said, only this guy has revelation. He said, you must come and preach. He was president of Polytechnic Christian Union. He said, Uche, you have to come. Olubi, please come. You must come and speak. So I took permission from Brother Emiko. So I'll go. You know, what did I preach? E.W. Kenyon. I just took two kinds of life and broke it down. Everybody was screaming, shouting. Then the word spread around. IVCU, Ibadan will call me. You know, Ilorin will call me. You know, Ife will call me. That's what happened in those days. So to the outsider, I was a super saint. I was a great, you know, aspiring man of God. But on the inside, this is why you have to be very honest with yourself. And those that compare themselves among themselves are not wise. I knew from these experiences I told you in the past that I wasn't yet where God wanted me to be. So I started working. That's how I started working on all of those things. Have I prayed four times a day? Have I done my confession? Then 1983, I now came to the knowledge of life scriptures. I discovered that if I pray in tongues 1 hour, 2 hours, I discovered that if I want to pray more, you know, it's like the fuel. You know, if I don't have enough of the life of God, you know, after that, the tongues will dry up. So I started doing all of that. And everything I was learning, I was writing it down. And that was the material that I now started using when we said scripture pasture. The material we used to write, that's why we call that book A Practical Guide to Prayer. It was truly because it was what I learned by practice. So it was from all of that that I now started learning that, doing the word of God is not automatic. That is why in Luke chapter 6, he said it this way. He said that the man who built upon the sand, he just built his house. He said, but the guy who built on the road, he said, he dug deep. Using a physical metaphor, an analogy, you know that if you have a pick or a shovel and you dig, it's going to take a lot of energy. It takes a lot of strength. That's what happens spiritually. If you want to build upon the rock of revelation knowledge, you have to dig deep by laboring in prayer and in the word. It's not automatic. People who just try and do the word of God without the background of labor in the word and prayer build on sand. But when you dig deep, and the way you dig is by the word, is prayer. I discovered that the day I don't pray properly in the spirit in the morning, I will not be able to pray, you know, once every 6 hours, pray frequently in tongues. My mind will not be stayed on him. I will lose my peace. So I discovered that to do all those scriptures, whatsoever things are true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, of good report, of excellence and of praise, you know, that will keep him, whose mind, to keep my mind stayed on him. I now discovered that the power to do it was generated by praying in the spirit and then keeping the word of God in my mouth throughout the day. Ah, it opened up. I said, okay, that's it. So if you don't pray, I said this recently, I think during my New Year message this year, I'm going to repeat it now. Effectively, fervently, and sufficiently, you won't be able to build on the rock. You think you're okay, but you're not. Observe that the guy who built on the sand built something. Go outside now and try and build a house on the sand without digging a funnel. You will build something. I remember when we were Boy Scouts. I remember. You know, they don't have that anymore. It's like a century ago. You know, I was a wolf cub. You don't know what wolf cub is. We will do our best. I was a wolf cub. You know, so we used to go and camp. I'm not when I was 7, 8, 9. One of my greatest treasures at that time was my penknife. Oh yeah. I had this very special penknife. You know, I had all kinds of things. My dad had a friend who was in America. So they brought it, you know, and they gave me. My penknife was very special. It was all the other children didn't have that kind of penknife. So we'll go and cut palm, palm leaves, you know. Then we'll dig. Then we'll put something inside the ground, you know. Then we'll use palm something to cover the place like a hut. It was actually a hut, but it took a lot of energy. Do you understand? We're building on sand. If the rains came and the floods rose and the wind blew, that hut of palm something, you can't live in it. It's going to come crashing down. That's how many people's Christians' lives are. You do something. It's not as if they're not doing anything. But they're not doing enough. But if you want to build on the rock, you go and get a pile driver. I don't know what a pile driver is. Those in mechanical engineering, and some people will tell you, you know, it's the same. Have you seen anybody trying to dig a borehole? You know, you get this big machine. Do you understand? Then it hits the ground. And then it goes right. You know, that's why it's a bore. It bores through the ground until it hits the water table. And sometimes you have to go down. Sometimes 50 meters, 60 meters, 100 meters before you hit water. So it is spiritually. You know, superficial Christianity. You know, they see praying in tongues is not to show off. So people think you're spiritual. No. It's to labor to build upon the rock. Labor in the word and labor in doctrine. Then I also discovered another thing. All this one was happening on the inside when people were thinking I was a super saint on the outside. That's why a lot of people today, by the grace of God, people who come from my generation, many of them have a lot of love and respect for me. If I remember Victor, when Akin's dad died, or was EMC's dad, you know, unconditional, you know. So he rode in my car with me. We were in somewhere in Kogi State, you know, because he was in Ife. He and Akin, they were all in University of Ife at the same time. He said, Olubi, you know, anytime I just remember you, I said, I just thank God for your life. He said, you know, can you look back then? It's as if you gave up everything, you lost everything, and look at you today. See how God has, you know, how God has blessed you. And I said, well, it's just the mercy and the. He said, it's true. There is nobody who serves God that ultimately God will not reward the person. These are guys who were with me. I had gone to England and come back. They were still undergraduates in a Nigerian university. So they were looking at me like this. How can some... Everybody was trying to go to England. I came back. Yes. At that time. And still today. They are still Japan. Yes. Everybody is trying to go. You who had the opportunity, your parents were rich, you could afford it, you came back, you must be mad. But that's the level of consecration, and it was an inspiration to many, many people. And these guys, that's how Akin could remember me, because I remember, you know, we met on the plane. This was before I became minister of Agric, and then before I became president of the AFDB, you know, God has a way of arranging things. You know, I went to England, I think it was the midterm of one of the children, maybe Dara or Ituno or something. So, all midterm, we always go. So, we don't leave the children alone. For those of you who want to send your children abroad, just a word on one side. Hello! Don't do what you don't have the spiritual power to do. Another message for another day. So, we went anyway. So I was on British Airways. So I was in business class. So I went to the toilet and I saw Bible on somebody's seat. I said, British Airways, very rare. I will see Bible. So I came out of the toilet and then I saw the person. The person looked familiar, but I wasn't sure. It looks like somebody I know. So I went back to my seat. So he now gets up. And he comes to me and says, aren't you Olubi Johnson? I said, I am. I said, I was looking at you. He said, I'm Akin Adesina. He said, you know, I live in Kenya now. I work with Kofi Annan, you know, and I'm into this Agric and all of that. He said, you don't remember me. I said, I remember. He said, you used to work with Brother Emiko. We used to come and buy books from you. Blah, 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 blah. And that's how we reconnected. And you know what? I didn't see him again for another 10 years. Then one day I'm watching the news on channel television. The new Federal Minister of Agriculture, Akin Adesina. I said, this looks like that guy I met on the plane. But I wasn't sure. But at the same time, my first cousin, Larry's senior brother, Shay, his wife, Mobola, was Minister of Communication in the Jonathan's district. So, the Lord led me. I called Mobola. I said, Mobola, there's a guy in your cabinet. His name is Akin Adesina. You tell him that Pastor Olubi Johnson is asking, is he the same? You know, I say, if he says he doesn't know me, then I must have made a mistake. But if it is him, then tell him to call me. Give him my number. This is a true story. So, they do the cabinet meeting with Jonathan and all the people. So, after the meeting, Mobola goes up to Akin and says, my senior brother, Pastor Olubi Johnson, said I should come and meet you. That, you know, he said, are you Pastor Olubi Johnson's sister? He said, no. He said, what? He said, give me his number. He called me instantly. And that's how we reconnected. We are doing the word of God. Are you listening to me? God has ways Then he now tells me his own story. It was Kofi Annan that recommended Akin Adesina to General Obasanjo. True story. It's Kofi Annan. They said they were looking for a minister of Agric. Kofi Annan says, I have a young Nigerian who's working with me. He's one of the most brilliant, you know, agricultural economists I've ever met. He said, look no further. told General Obasanjo, said, you better not miss this. General Obasanjo picks up the phone and calls President Jonathan. Says, this guy is your next minister of agriculture. So they send for Aki. He comes all the way from Kenya. He comes in. They interview him. They say, okay, yeah, you know, but traditionally the minister of agriculture is always zoned to the north. So they'll give him minister of state. Aki said, I can't do anything with minister of state. I either have full or nothing. He says, thank you very much. I appreciate you trying to. I'm not suffering. He didn't say that. I'm just, you know. He just went back. He went back to Kenya. He was already on the Rockefeller Foundation. He had a good job. Oh, yeah. So no, I don't have to come. You know, give me. So he goes back to Kenya. But Obasanjo now hears of what they did about the interview that they didn't give him the phone. He calls Jonathan. Say, what are you doing? You want to lose the best that you can ever get. President. President Jonathan. Call him. Give him full minister. And please appeal to him to come back. Akin is in the air. On the way back to Kenya. So they now call his wife. That they have given him. So he lands in Kenya. Packs a few things. Gets back on the plane. Back to Nigeria. What am I saying? But all of these things, it came from the word of God. We were all young men. His own story is another story, which I, you know, but the being doers of the word is not automatical. If you do not take time in the word and prayer, we're going to look at two scriptures and then I'm going to close. Look at 2 Corinthians. I call it the textbook definition of revelation knowledge. And we close with the last two scriptures in John chapter 7. This is the textbook definition of revelation knowledge. For God, everyone say for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined where? In our hearts. To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God and His praise. But just keep it simple, you know. What is revelation knowledge? When God shines light from your spirit through your will, which must be open, into your mind, then it is no longer what Paul said. It is no longer what David said. It is no longer what Solomon said. It is no longer what Pastor Luby said. It is no longer second-hand information. It now becomes first-hand information. It's what God told you. And the way you act on it is different from when it's second-hand information. That's what revelation knowledge is. And that's the kind... So when you're reading your Bible, it's not... well, the pastor said we should pray 1 hour in the spirit. Pastor said we should do this. Pastor said we should do that. It starts like that. But you can't continue like that. You have to come to a place where God himself has shown it to you. Then you now act on it. It is when you build on the rock of revelation that when the floods come and the rains come down and the floods come up and the winds blow, that it will not blow you. When you don't build on that rock, you're building on sand. Let's go back to Matthew 7 as I close. Am I talking to anybody here? I'm not hearing any screaming and shouting. How about looking kind of funny? Eh? Hello, somebody. And it came to pass. Verse 28 and 29. We're going to close. And it came to pass. When Jesus had ended these sayings. The people were astonished. Everybody scream astonished. It means the teaching was so precise. It was so clear. And most importantly, it was so authoritative. They were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. What's the difference? And I, yet not I, but the grace of God which is with me. What difference my own kind of teaching, my own kind of preaching, and some other people is they're teaching secondhand information. It's head knowledge. It's what they heard Kenneth Hagin say. Some people, you know, some pastors, they go and download the message for Sunday on the internet. Say, what's everybody saying? What's everybody saying? Quickly download the message. Then on Sunday, come and start bamboozling people. Yes, I did teach what Kenneth Hagin taught. I taught what E.W. Kenyon taught. So I learned from men, but I didn't learn from men alone. Paul said, the gospel I preach, he said, I preach it not after man, neither was I taught it. People are looking at me funny. Galatians chapter 1. Let's quickly go there and come back. Am I talking to anybody here? Look at Galatians. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Am I talking to anybody here? You're right. Galatians chapter 1, I believe it is. Galatians chapter 1. And where in the world are you? I know I wrote it down in my notes here. Somewhere. Yes, 1:12. And I certify, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by what? Revelation. Now, I was taught by Kenneth Hagin. I was taught by E.W. Kenyon through his books. I was taught by Kenneth Copeland to some degree. I was taught by Papa Ralph. I was taught by all these great men. But it was not just what they taught me. What they taught me was a starting point. But I myself, by the grace and the mercy of God, I prayed. I read my Bible. So God now shed light on what they taught. So it went beyond what Kenneth Hagin taught to what God said. That is the rock. When you're still teaching and preaching secondhand information, is sand. It will not stand up under pressure. That's why, stand to your feet, we've got to close, Pastor G. You know, you find people who leave scripture pasture and then stop using live scriptures. He never had a revelation of it. Yeah, some people take them away from church for 3 weeks. You understand? They're only doing it because Pastor Luby said we should do it. They don't know, they don't have a revelation of it themselves. So they're not building on the rock. They're building on sand. And when the rains come, and they will come. And when the floods rise, and they will rise. And when the winds blow, and they will blow. You find that most of the time their house falls flat. And you know the Bible says great was the fall of it. I don't know why Jesus added that, but one of the greatest problems you can have as a Christian, and which a lot of our brethren have today, is this kind of incomplete knowledge. People who have a lot of head knowledge, they're proud. They're never telling you they know the Bible. They'll quote scripture. I just got a word. If Solomon, who wrote Proverbs 5, 6, and 7, could break Proverbs 5, 6, and 7, then even writing scripture is no guarantee that you would do it. It's one of this truth I'm giving you, myself, Wale Adekoya of blessed memory, my friend, you know, and Fred, we discussed these things in the 1980s, 1981. We all said, Solomon was the one who wrote this thing. Yet, look at what he did. Then all of us woke up and said, if Solomon can, then it means that it's more than just knowing it. It's more than just knowing it in my head. I have to have revelation knowledge. And revelation knowledge comes from a humble heart, praying in the spirit, you know, reading the Bible, that brings the head knowledge. Then the praying in the spirit now brings light from here that shines through the humble heart into the soul. That's how you get it. The reason why most people don't have revelation knowledge is because they don't pray much in the spirit. I shared this on Sunday, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. If you don't pray a lot in the spirit with a humble heart, a will that is willing to do the word of God, willing to walk in love. If the motivation is not love, you're going to find that if the will is locked, no matter how much light is shining from the spirit, it will never shine into the mind. So you have a lot of people who know the Bible, head knowledge, but it's sand. I cannot close. Well, pick it up next time. You know, I'll resummarize again my next lesson. You know what Paul said? Let's give Paul a super clap offering. Ah, Baba Paul. He said, I preach by revelation. I live by revelation. It is no more I that live, but Christ that liveth in me. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul was not preaching. No, Paul was not there when Jesus was around. When the other guys had a physical contact with Paul, with Jesus. Paul didn't have any physical contact with Jesus. But Paul knew Jesus better than some of the guys who had physical contact. So we know no man after the flesh. And I, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me, determined in my life, that's what I'm going to do. Not by the grace of God, it's what I've done and still do. Well, Ken Hagin's died. He's gone on to be with the Lord. If I was following Ken Hagin blindly, I would have probably been devastated when he died. I wasn't following Ken Hagin. I was following Ken Hagin as Ken Hagin was following Christ. And then Christ was revealing to me what he taught Kenneth Hagin and even beyond. And that's not only true of Ken Hagin, it's true of all the teachers I've taught. E.W. Kenyon wasn't perfect. There are some things he said in his books I don't agree with. And I could see them, even as a young Christian, this one. He didn't emphasize a lot of tongues. And he needed to. So how did he get his revelation? God showed him. Later on in life, I don't know the fullness of the story, he too now says, because he used to criticize people who speak in tongues. I knew that wasn't correct. Never follow any man blindly. That's why you need to pray yourself. You need to read the Bible yourself. Then you have a template with which you can compare what people are telling you. And then, in the words of Kenneth Hagin, you will learn how to eat the fish and lift the bones. I've listened to great prophetic teachers. Papa Ralph, Bill Britton, George Warnock. I used to write George Warnock before he died, you know. I used to send offering to him every month. Lovely man. He was in Canada. He would write. He used to write me with his own handwriting. Just to appreciate what I was sending to him. As he got older, he couldn't write again because, you know, he was getting old. But he would always send to me, you know, get his secretary or somebody, you know, they would send to me, telling me how much he appreciated me. I loved the guy. But I didn't follow him blindly. As anything those guys said, some of the prophetic people, you know,
They don't believe in. they don't believe in a lot of stuff. Let me just leave it like that. You know, they believe that we'll be here for the tribulation, and that, you know, we're going to get glorified bodies before Jesus comes. So we'll be here for the tribulation, but we will not be here for the tribulation. Let me correct that. We'll be here in the tribulation, but we'll not be here for the tribulation. Because of our glorified states, the tribulation will not affect us. That's not right. You have to read the Bible, where it says that, you know, watch and pray with that you be accounted worthy to escape. That's how I got all these things. Because I was like Jesus. I'm following Jesus' example. He said he taught them as one having authority, not like the scribe. What do scribes do? They just scribe. See, Solomon was a scribe. David was a scribe. Who wrote Psalms? David. But all his knowledge of Psalms did not stop him from doing nonsense with Bathsheba. Revelation knowledge. So that when the wind blows, when the rains come, when the floods come, your house will stand. Let's talk to God. I got to close. Oh, hallelujah. I don't know if I've helped anybody here tonight. Thank you, Jesus. I just want to be where you are.
I just want to be where you are.
Hallelujah. Sing it, darling.
Dwelling
daily in your presence.
I don't want to worship. I don't
want to worship from afar.
Draw me near
to where you are. I just wanna be where you are.
In your dwelling place.
In your dwelling place forever. Oh, take me, take me, take me, take me to the place where you are.
Oh Lord,
I just want to be with you. I wanna be where you are.
Where you are
dwelling in your presence.
I will not be wrong to say this, that the most important thing in your Christian life after getting born again and filled with the Holy Spirit is the receiving of revelation knowledge. This same Paul, he said, on no other foundation can a man build. This is Jesus Christ. He said, but some build with wood, hay, and stubble, head knowledge. Some with gold, silver, and precious stones, revelation knowledge. Don't deceive yourself. Ask yourself, what am I really building on? That is why, by the help of the Holy Spirit, tonight, God helped me break it down. We can actually look at what you're doing and what the standard is. And it's not Olubi's standard. It's God's standard. What do you think Jesus was doing when he was 12, 13, 14? He was getting revelation knowledge. That's why he taught as one as having authority. He said, you have heard it said in all time that a man should not commit adultery. But I say unto you, revelation, that he that looks at a woman and lusts after her in her heart hath committed adultery with him. Or it's not in the Bible. Not in the Old Testament. But it's there. It's hidden knowledge. He said that Moses showed you at the bush. I am the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. For all our life to him. Revelation knowledge from the burning bush. It's revelation knowledge. Same thing by the grace and the mercy. We're just following after him. That we're doing today. Say, hey, where's that in the Bible? It's there. But it's hidden. Hidden from the rebellious and the stubborn. And hidden for the honest and the humble. But it's there. Raise that hand. Pray this prayer. I'm going to say it, but I want you to say it in your heart first, so you don't just repeat like a robot, like a parrot. I want you to say, I said, God, I want revelation knowledge. If you already have it, I want more. I want it to be beyond what Pastor Olubi said. Beyond what Mommy Sarah said, I want you to talk to me. Reveal it to me in my own heart. That I need to use life scriptures every day to draw life. That I need to pray in the spirit with all kinds of prayer and spirit. I need to keep the commandment of life and love every 6 hours. I need to pray frequently in tongues throughout the day to enjoy communion. Reveal it to me. So I'm not doing it because some man told me. I'm doing it because you showed me. Good. Now let's pray. Say, Lord, have mercy on us. Father, I confess my sins and repent for where I've been building on sand hitherto. Comparing myself with other men. Thinking I am more spiritual than I am. Thinking of myself more highly than I ought, I humble myself. I receive mercy, the blood of Jesus to cleanse my sins. Your life and your power in sufficient measure as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word tonight. God, Lord, come and show me by your spirit how to dig deep and build on the rock. How to labor in prayer and in the word. So I'm going to build my Christian life, the temple, your temple, in my soul and in my physical body, upon the rock of revelation. So at the gates of hell, the rains, the floods, and the winds of hell will not be able to prevail against me. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, thank you. Father, Father, thank you, Zakamatolo Matolo Batufrido Fres. Lord Jesus, Apricatolo Matufrido Fres. Lord Holy Spirit, Niki Tufridi, Ambricatolo Mustufres. I thank you for your blood, Lapricatolo Matufres. Your life, Rananga Toskufre. Your power, Niki Tufre, Lambre, Lipridoclo, in and upon our wills, Lapricatolo Matufrines. Our minds, Lapricatolo Matufriningas. Our emotions, Nikitolo Matufrines. Our physical bodies, Lipricatolo Matufres. Insufficient measure, Lambriga, Retolo, Lambredolo Matufre, Zofre, Lenga, and our circumstances, Lapricatolo Matufres. Our regional heavenlies, Lipricatufrinisk. Insufficient measure, Ranantolo Matufredesca. Nea! Tuska fre longer doloma in this regard Nika Tuska Rena Tuska Fridi Toloma Shangara in Jesus' name. If you need healing for your body, stretch your hand towards your device. If you are home, if you're here, just stretch your hands. Father, the Bible says you sent your word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. The word tells us that Jesus was preaching the word and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. The power of God that is present now in the air to heal, I release into the physical bodies of all those who are stretching forth their hands now in faith in Jesus' name. Be thou made whole. I come against spirit of infirmity, spirit of fear, spirit of doubt, spirit of oppression and depression. I cast you out. Destroy your works. I resist and I bind you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.